there are many of you know that I practice dentistry for a living. That's how I earn my living. And a major part of practicing dentistry is doing exams. I would say on some days I perform perhaps up to 20 exams on various patients that come into the office. I do patients that come in for, there are new patients that come in for exams. I do hygiene exams on patients who are getting their teeth cleaned. I do exams on patients that have toothaches, or I just do exams on patients who come in for routine checkups. So the practice of dentistry involves nonstop examination. And I have many patients that like to examine and self-diagnose themselves and like to tell me what's happening with their mouth and with their teeth. And there's a wide range of those patients. You have some that are hypochondriacs. You have some that come in and see one little spot of stain from coffee or from tea, and they think that the tooth is going to have to be pulled or they're going to have a root canal. And then you have those on the opposite extreme that have craters the size of the moon in their teeth. And it says it doesn't hurt them, and they don't want to do anything with it. And I call them denialists. So you have hypochondriacs, you have denialists. And also, denial is not just a river in Egypt. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Brother, we are now 12 days away from this year's Passover, and we have been in the process of examining ourselves and performing a self-diagnosis and according to the instructions in 2 Corinthians. If you would, please turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, where we'll start this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, indeed, you are disqualified. Now, the New English Translation says, unless you fail the test. The question I have for you this morning, in the sermonette time, to properly fulfill the instruction of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, is self-examination merely enough? Is that all that it's expected of us before the Passover, just to do a self-examination? The purpose of this sermonette is to exhort you and to exhort me in the remaining days before the Passover to involve Jesus Christ in our examination process. If indeed, as 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 states, that Christ is in us, shouldn't we be involving him in our examination process? Now, if you thought you had a problem with your tooth or some other part of your body and you went to the dentist or to the doctor, would you simply just self-examine yourself and stay at home and not involve the doctor? I think you know the answer to that question. And who is our ultimate spiritual healer in the universe? Of course, we all want physical healing, but more importantly, we, in this world, and as God's people, we need spiritual healing. If you would, turn over to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, we read a prophecy about Jesus Christ and his, not only physical healing, his power to physically heal, but more importantly, the power of Jesus Christ to eventually spiritually heal the entire world. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Again, whenever you go to the ministry of the church for physical healing and hands are laid upon you for physical healing, this is the scripture that often we refer to. And again, more importantly, even though we need physical healing in this life, this world and we, as disciples of Christ at the end of this age, need spiritual healing. I would describe there are probably three types, basically three types of patients who respond to an exam. When they come into the dental office for whatever type of exam they're there for, they basically have three answers or three comments or three responses to me when I'm doing an exam or beginning an exam or finishing an exam. The first is, this happens a lot in hygiene exams when somebody comes in to have their teeth cleaned. You'll set them back in the chair, and literally, as the chair is reclining back, they'll look you in the eye, and they will tell you, don't find anything wrong. Okay? So I try to lighten the moment, and I'll say, well, do you want me to lie to you? Oh, no, don't lie to me, But don't find anything wrong. The second type of response that I often get is I'll tell them, well, you need a filling here, you need a filling there, but these two teeth need crowns and maybe even one needs a root canal. And they'll say, well, it's not hurting me. Okay, well, not now it's not hurting you. But if, and I'm not a spiritual healer, that's not what I'm getting at. The point is that Christ is our spiritual healer. If Christ points out something that's wrong, do we say, is our response, well, it's not hurting me. Well, not now it's not hurting you, but give it enough time, it will. The third type of response that I often get, and this is the best type of response, okay, doc, whatever you say, you're the expert. That is a very small percentage in comparison to the other two. But that is the best response. And I often say to the patient, would you please tell my wife that? We both work in the same office, so it's great to have Linda there helping me, and I really appreciate her assistance. But as a joke, I will say that to the patient. Brethren, King David set the standard for us as human beings regarding how we should include God in examining ourselves. David recognized that God is the expert healer and knew he must do whatever God said for his sins to be forgiven. God even described King David as a man after his own heart. If you would, turn to Psalms chapter 51. Psalms chapter 51. And we assume David wrote this. We don't know for sure that he wrote all the Psalms, but probably based on his sins with Bathsheba and the death of her husband, we would assume that David did write this. Psalms 51, David starts out by saying, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And I would encourage you to read through, we don't have time in the course of the sermonette to read through the entire passage, but I would take time in the next couple of weeks to read through chapter 51 of Psalms all the way down to verse 19 and read what the heartfelt and the sincere prayer and psalm that King David did offer to God. But notice, the first thing King David asked for in his asking God to examine him is to ask for mercy. And that's the first thing that we should be doing when we ask God to participate in our examination process, is to have mercy upon us. It's probably not best to go to God and just ask him to, quote unquote, lay it on us, so to speak. You know, be careful what you wish for. God says he's not going to give us anything that we can't handle, but at the same time, we should be asking God to do it in a merciful way. If you would, turn back to Psalms chapter 26, Psalms chapter 26 and verse 2. Psalms 26 and verse 2, again, we believe David wrote this. Examine me, O Lord, and test me. Evaluate my inner thoughts and motives. And why is it so important that we ask God to examine our thoughts and our motives? Well, David asked God to do that, to evaluate his inner thoughts and motives. But where does sin begin? Where does the root of sin begin? It begins with our thoughts and in our minds. So while asking God for mercy, we should also ask him to evaluate our inner thoughts and our minds, because that indeed is where sin begins. Psalms 139, verse 23, jumping way ahead to the latter part of the book of Psalms. Psalms 139 and verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. Anxieties might be better rendered or translated thoughts. Know my thoughts. Verse 24, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way that is everlasting. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 talks about a way that seems right unto a man, but the result of that way is death. And King David, as should we, is asking for God to lead him in a way which will lead to everlasting or eternal life. Again, David asked God to see if there's any wicked way in him. And just as we are instructed in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, as we're leading up to the days of unleavened bread, and during the days of unleavened bread, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8 says, we are to keep the feast of unleavened bread, not with the old leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Brethren, in the last day, 12 days before the Passover, as we continue to examine ourselves, let us go and ask God to be a part of our examination process. We must acknowledge that he is the expert of each and every one of us, and we need to be asking him to show us in a merciful way where we fall short and where we are not living up to the standard that Jesus Christ, our spiritual healer, set for all of us.